Thank you so much. Everybody say amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Lord is in this place. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We're in a series of messages about prayer that I've entitled Pray On. And we're seeking to develop the kind of prayer life that's meaningful and is strong and is exciting and is effective. If you would like to take notes, I want you to write down this in your notes. The notes are found in your programs. Things happen when we pray. Things happen when we pray. I know if I opened the floor, y'all would tell me a lot of stories about how God has answered prayer. Just like that sometimes. Things happen when we pray. An English priest of another time, William Temple, he said, I noticed that coincidence occurred much more frequently when I started praying. Yes, so things happen when we pray. Psalm 107, I was seeking God out about what to share with y'all and how to encourage each one of us in prayer. And I was in another part in the Bible in the New Testament, but I felt like the Lord led me to this passage in Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, what God does is he urges his people to use their imagination, okay, to use their mind, and he reminds them of the times when they were in the desert, when they were having a difficult time, probably heading towards the promised land, and he reminds them of the times when they were put in jail for whatever reason, they were held captive, and he reminds them, God does, of the times when they face storms, even at sea. He reminds them all of that, and then he reminds them of how they called to God. They called out to God, and he answered, and he delivered them, and he took care of them, and he urges them with thanksgiving and prayer and celebration to thank him for all that he has done. And that's where we're going to be today. Psalm 107, we're going to take what God said to the Hebrew people, to the Jews there, and then apply it to our lives. But when I read all that, I thought about imagination. I want you to write down the word imagination on your notes. Using your imagination while praying can strengthen your faith. A lot of us have forgotten how to use our imagination. We just grew old. We just don't remember how to imagine fun, exciting things. The other day, I left a colorful, my mind, I got to focus on this after all this that has happened here. I left a colorful extension cord in my house that I had not put away. And my three-year-old little baby came walking in, and he looked at the thing and said, a snake! And he picked it up, and he unraveled it, and then he started pulling the snake all around the house. And that's imagination. You may have, when you were a kid, or maybe still do, look at the clouds and see figures in the clouds, images. Oh, that looks like a dragon with the mouth open, or that looks like a face. And if you're with somebody, they don't see it. You're just like, look at the nose. There's the eyes. There's the mouth. You know, and that's using your imagination. In fact, the word imagination comes from the word image. And our mind just puts out images about mental images about things that have happened in the past that God has done. So today, as we read this, I hope, and my prayer is that God kind of uses these mental images of how God has come through in your life again and again and again. God's taking care of you. God's done great things for you, and he's done great things for me, and he's blessed us. Folks, listen, never forget God's faithfulness, because God is faithful. So I want you to write down that in your notes, please. God is faithful, or God's faithfulness. Imagination. I read about this author, Richard Foster. He wrote a great classic work called Celebration of Discipline many years ago. But it tells a story in that book about the time he was asked to pray for a little girl who was sick, a little baby that was sick. And so he gets to the house, and the baby is very sick, and there's his four-year-old brother is in the room, and her name was Julie. And so when Richard walked into that room, he said to the four-year-old, do you mind helping me pray for your sister who's very sick? And he said, okay. And so he said to the four-year-old, hey, let's play a game. Let's imagine, he said, that you know how Jesus is always with us? Let's imagine that Jesus is sitting over there across from where the baby was. Let's imagine that Jesus is sitting on a chair over there, and he's looking at us, and he's smiling at us, and he's waiting for us to ask him to come help your little sister. And then he gets up, and we, Richard says to the little boy, we join our hands and we put it on your sister, Julie, and then Jesus comes and walks over, and he puts his hand over our hands. And then, listen, imagine Jesus' light glowing over your sister. And let's make believe that Jesus' light is fighting all those bad germs and is going to make her well. He said, can we do that? And he said, okay. And so the little boy, four-year-old, and Richard got up, and then they laid hands on little Julie. And Richard says in the book that he just prayed a very simple childlike prayer for the little baby, that God would just heal her and make her better. And then he says the next morning, she was completely well. I wonder what you think about when you start praying. Do you ever picture Jesus standing right by where you are? Do you ever think of him listening to what you're saying? Or if you're praying for somebody, do you ever picture him going to that person? Or if you're praying for healing, do you ever picture Jesus in your imagination going and touching that person that you're so much praying for? Psalm 107, verse 1 begins like this. This is a great way to pray, and that's what we're seeking. We're God, how can I better pray? How can I be more effective? So Psalm 107, the author says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. When you pray, mention God's goodness, because he is a good God. You know, the culture pictures God as a policeman who's ready to bust you when you break his law. Or sometimes people picture God as a frowning old man with a cane, ready to pop them on the head every time they mess up. But that's not the way God is pictured in the Bible. God is a good God. He is a loving God. He is a smiling God. He's a yes kind of God, especially to his children. So in prayer, number one, when you're praying, when you and I are praying and we're thinking about God and all that he is and the good things he's done for us, number one, call out to God. Praise and thank him for saving you for an empty way of life. Thank God and praise God and bless God for saving you from an empty way of life. Psalm 107 goes like this in verse 4 through 8. You wonder, God's talking to his children, the Jews. He's telling them, reminding them. He wants them to remember. God says, you wander for years in the desert, looking but not finding a good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion. By the way, this is the Message Bible. Then, in your desperate condition, you called out to God. He got you out in the nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. And when I read that, I just kind of picked out from all that those kind of tough words, half-hearted, half-starved, staggering, parched, stumbling, exhausting, desperate. And I thought, you know, when somebody's desperate and parched, they're just weak. They're hurting. They were like that, but God says, you were hurting, but I came to you. I heard you. I heard your prayer. And I delivered you and I helped you. God was reminding them when the children of Israel just kept going around in circles on the way to the promised land. Go around one time and then go around one time and then go another and another. For 40 years, they kept going in circles. Hey, I've seen that rock before. Didn't we see that tree last year? They just went around in circles and in circles and in circles. And I know you've been there too. Sometimes you've gone around in circles. And you felt one time you were parched, spiritually speaking. You were needing some kind of relief. Every one of us at one point or another, we found ourselves in this spiritual desert looking for God, needing God. And I think sometimes as we grow older as Christians, we forget how empty our lives was before we met Jesus. How hurting we were before somebody introduced us to the Savior. We were looking and we were trying one thing or another to try to make us feel better and satisfied. But you know, we've talked about this before. Nothing really satisfies for the long haul other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to go back in your mind. You know, they say that all of us have this thing in our brains called the hippocampus. The hippocampus, the hippocampus. It is the place where memories are created. Images are put together there in the hippocampus, and there we remember certain things. The reason why people in Alzheimer's have a problem remembering is because their hippocampus is affected. So right now, as I'm talking about the time before you gave your heart to Jesus, where's your hippocampus taking you? Where were you before you got saved? How was life? What were you looking for? What were you doing? Memories make flood your mind. I know when I was thinking about this, I remember my mom. She knew I have been drinking a lot of hard liquor. You can ask Doreen. I was using drugs. I had done things that I could have been arrested for if I was ever caught. And my mom used to say to me, son, I believe you would have ended up in jail had Jesus not saved your soul. I went back to that memory, when I was seeking, when I was looking, when I needed, and God heard my prayer. And I know there are people who grew up in a Christian home and don't have the kind of experiences that I've had in my past. But there came a time in your life, even when if you were raised in a Christian home, when you realized that you could not ride up to heaven on your parents' coattails. You realized that you were a sinner in need of a Savior. So I want you to write this down. There's a moment in time in everyone's life when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin and you turn your life over to Jesus. Maybe you're watching me on Facebook right now or somebody here, and you don't need the hippocampus to take you anywhere, because maybe you're in a parched, dry land right now. And you're seeking God, and you're hoping that God hears you, and God sees you, and you're trying this, and you're trying that, but you're still empty. And I want to tell you, even successful people are empty. They may have trophies and titles and all kinds of great things, but I tell you what, when they wake up in the morning, they got to get back to the empty old routine. And they wonder, there has to be something more and better than this. So, in prayer, call out to God. Thank God for what he did for you when he saved your soul. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you can do that with me this morning. And then when you do, what God does is sends you on a new journey with him. So write this down on your notes, please, the word new journey. When Jesus saves you, he also sends you on a great new journey that's blessed and wonderful. If you're a child of God, you're sitting here, you're a child of God. Has God blessed your life? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Put it down. Has it been a wonderful trip? Yes. It's been an awesome journey. I mean, we're not lying. That's what God does for us, the believers. Number two, So when you pray, not only remember God's salvation in your own life, don't never forget the cross, man. Never forget what Jesus did and how much he paid for you to be where you are today as a believer. Number two, call out to God, praise and thank him for freeing you from the darkness. From freeing you from the darkness. That's what God does with his people, the Jews. He reminds them of when they were in jail, when they were in prison. Psalm 107, I'm still on the Message Bible, verses 10 through 15. Some of y'all, I was going to say y'all, but it doesn't say y'all there. Some of you were, that's the southern in me. I'm south of the border, you know what I'm saying? But I still pick up some of these things. So some of y'all were locked in dark, in a dark cell, cruelly confined behind bars, punished for defying God's word, for turning your back on the Most High God's counsel. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He led you out of your dark, dark cell, broke open the jail, and led you out. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. And you know, one thing about these verses, God keeps repeating, thank God for his marvelous love. Remember to do that when you pray. Thank God for his marvelous love. Thank him for how much he loves you, how much he loves your family, how much he loves what you do, how much he blesses you. So he keeps repeating, thank God for his miracle mercy also. All right? What happens is, what God's saying to them, hey, listen, there are consequences to your dark path. You decided to go in a certain direction and you paid the price for it. There's a preacher who's now in heaven. His name is Leonard Griffiths. He said, people are like prisoners trapped in the dungeon of their own moral folly, the victims of evil. They started out with freedom of choice, but they continue to choose the wrong thing. Verse 17 of Psalm 107 reads, some were fools, suffering because of their sins and because of their evil. Write down the word consequences in your blank, please. Bad consequences for simple behavior. Sinful behavior are just one decision away. They're just one decision away. So I'm a preacher, and I know preachers, different preachers. And I tell you what, I had a friend who was a preacher. He had an incredibly growing church. Big church and growing. It was one of the most exciting churches in town, another town. But he lost it all. Because he made the decision of starting to look at pornography while he was at church. Him and the other ministers. And he got busted. And he lost it. Lost all of it. Now thank God that he is a restoring God. Can I hear an amen? And God restored him to ministry a while later. And I know a guy. He's a minister of the gospel. He got caught in pornography. And with drugs. And he lost it all. Lost his church, lost his family, and lost his future. And I know another pastor. Now listen, I'm not saying bad things about pastor. I'm a pastor. You can trust us, y'all. Listen, you can trust us, but we're normal people. We're going to mess up. We'll break down sometimes. And when a pastor breaks down, it takes a lot of people down with him. Know a pastor who's serving time in jail right now for a long time. Know what for? Child pornography. He was messing with child pornography while at church. We're talking about bad decisions right now. Bad decisions, right? And I know another pastor. This one I've told you about. Who was caught in sexual indiscretions. And he killed himself. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. Yeah, I know. But you're going to make bad decisions as well. And there are always consequences to our poor decisions. Maybe somebody here, you just chosen to follow a different way than the one God had for you, the one God offers. Or you can call out to God. And he'll welcome you. There are some people who I know used to believe and follow the Lord, but they've walked away from the faith altogether. Man, if that's you, call out to God. If you're listening to me, wherever you are, you're like, man, I've stayed away too long. Call out to God because he will welcome you home. God will. You've heard the story. You've heard the story of the young man. Had a big blowout at his house. Left the house for a long time. But then he got caught in a prison of guilt. You know what I'm saying? And he wanted to come back home. And so he made the call and told the parents, I want to come back. But it was kind of a tense phone call. And he said to them, if y'all are okay with me coming back, when I come back to the house, will y'all leave the porch light on? And he started making his way back home. And as he turned the corner and saw the house, he saw the light was on. And he wondered how it was going to be and how awkward it was going to be when he saw them again. And as he started walking towards the front door, the door flew open and both parents ran towards him and embraced him and kissed him. He was welcome back. I want to tell you, that's a picture of God, right? It's a picture of God and how much he loves you and how much he loves me. And sometimes we betray his trust. And we feel horrible about it. And what God is saying in this chapter for us, this psalm, is like, hey, call out to me. Call out to me and I'm listening. And I'll answer you. And I'll bring you back to me. But I want to tell you, not all this, we're talking about self-made prisons here. Not all self-made prisons are the result of sin. Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances that put us in a very dark place, that drain us mentally and physically and emotionally. Sometimes these prisons of us are things that, because we're victims of what other people did to us. And we feel horrible. And we're hurting and we're suffering. And what God is saying, call to me. Whatever is holding you captive, whatever you feel has a hold in your life, let God free you from it. For your notes, Jesus came to set you free so you can get the most out of your life. And Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, then you will be really free, or free indeed. You can be all that God made you to be in Christ. And you can live life to the fullest. Number three. Call out to God in prayer. Praise and thank him for his protection during the storms of life. Psalm 107 describes the Hebrews as being in a boat. A boat that's going up and down. Check it out. I'm reading from verses 26 through 31. I'm still in the Good News. I'm using a lot of the Good News version today. The Message Bible, I'm sorry. This is from the Good News. I'm sorry. Good News Translation. The ships that the Hebrews were on, God reminds them of, were lifted high in the air and plunged down into the depths. Have you seen the show Deadliest Catch in the Bering Sea? Those boats, man, they go up and they go down, and it's just insane. I mean, I've been on cruises when it was rocking the boat, and you know it was bad because they put barf bags on all the doors. You knew people were going to be vomiting, and you saw people vomiting even in the stairways as you were going to your room. Horrible. God reminds his people, hey, listen, you were inside. It's like you were in ships that were lifted high in the air and plunged down into the depths. In such danger, the sailors lost their courage. They stumbled and staggered like drunks. All their skill was useless. Then in their trouble, they called out to the Lord, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the raging storm, and the waves became quiet. They must thank the Lord for his constant love, for the wonderful things he did for them. Listen, if you want to have a good, strong prayer life, remember when God took you out of the storm, when God was there during your storm. Remember the story in your imagination. Remember the story of Jesus. The Bible says that he was laying on a cushion in a boat. He was with the disciples there in the Sea of Galilee. And I've been to that place in Galilee, and they say that storms just come out of nowhere because of all the mountain and the terrain there. And Jesus is in the boat, the Bible tells us, and a great big storm lets loose, and the winds howl, and the waves are crushing against the boat, and the disciples, they think they're going to drown, and Jesus is sleeping because he's exhausted, and the Bible says that they wake him up and say, "Hey, Lord, don't you care that we're all gonna die? We're all gonna drown." And you remember what the Lord did? He got up and he looked at everything that was going on, and he said to the wind and the waves, "Be still." And the Bible says that everything died down. Man, the power of God. God calmed the storm. And sometimes you find yourself in a storm and you call out to God. That's what God is saying. Hey, when you're in a storm, call out to me. That's what God is saying. And God sometimes will calm your storm. But sometimes he doesn't. The storm rages on. God wants you just to hold on to him for dear life. The book of Acts chapter 27, remember, God has a plan. Amen? God has a plan for your life and my life. Sometimes we're not sure about what that plan is all about, but God's got a plan. God's going to make sure we make it there. So God had a plan for the Apostle Paul to go to Rome because God wanted Paul to be his witness in Rome. Now, Paul is in a boat, big old ship, heading to Rome, and the Bible describes this horrible storm that breaks out for days on end. People are not even eating during that storm. And they're trying to lighten the ship because it's going to go down. Everybody's panicking. You know what the Bible says happened? An angel appeared to Paul one night and said, "Paul, listen, everybody's going to be okay. No life is going to be lost. Just stay in the boat, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to take care of you." And the Bible says that Paul, the next day, went to the people, or just went to the sailors and said, "Hey, I had an angel that came to me yesterday, and he told me we're all going to be all right. Just trust him." And when you read the story of Acts 27, you find out that the boat did hit the reefs and the rocks, and it crashed and it went down, and yet everyone survived, just like God said. God let them continue in the storm, but he sent Paul peace. And God will send you peace in the midst of your storm. You can hold on to him. I know you know, because you've been watching the news, I'm sure. Oh, by the way, just write down, the Lord has a way of giving you peace during your storm. Everybody's talking about Charlie Kirk. Everybody's talking about Charlie Kirk. He got shut down by some young person during a meeting in a university in Utah. And if you don't know who Charlie Kirk was, it may be because his focus was strictly on young people. He just went to universities from one to the other, answering their questions about life. Whatever question they had, whether it was political or religious or alternative lifestyle, whatever it was, Charlie Kirk was there to talk with them and answer their questions. It's just a dialogue kind of thing. The guy was global. This guy was global. And to me, it's one of those people that are maybe a once-in-a-lifetime kind of people. He was wise beyond his years, but he was shut down. And the other day, his widow spoke. And she said something like this. She said, "I am heartbroken beyond words." She said, "I don't know what God is doing." But then she said, "But God is good." in the midst of a storm. God is good. Prayer is calling out to Jesus in your storm, in your dark places. It's calling out to Jesus when you need a Savior. That's what prayer is. Now I want to go back to verse 2 because I skipped it so I could finish this time with you with verse 2. Okay? So we go back to verse 2 and God's reminding his people of all of that, right? But before he goes into all of that, he says this, verse 2. Has the Lord redeemed you? Has he saved your soul? Has he forgiven your sins? Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. What a call to the church of the living God. Has God saved your soul? Tell others about it. For your notes, I want you to write down, Christians must tell others what Jesus has done for us. I think the church of the living God has gotten lazy and unconcerned. You know, we're saved, we've been baptized, and we're on our way to heaven. What else is there to do? Tell others what God has done. Let me go back to Charlie Kirk. His wife was talking, and she said he had one mission. Going to all these places, he had one mission. And the mission that he had was to overpopulate heaven. And I thought that was really cool. He wanted to plant seeds and tell people about Jesus, which he did wherever he went, okay? He wanted to plant seeds so people would get saved. That's all he wanted. He wanted to overpopulate heaven. Telling others, y'all, it's not about being a preacher. It's not about being a missionary. It's just about you opening up to others and you planting seeds of faith in other people's hearts. That's all about. You let God do the growth. You let God do the salvation. You just plant seeds. So after saturated on when did we start this? Wednesday? Wednesday. After saturated on Wednesday when Willie Robertson spoke, the next day I went to my lawyer's office, and I talked to her assistant, which is also her daughter, and I said, "Hey," she was surprised to see me, and I identified my, "Hey, listen, I'm George." I said, "Oh yeah, I know who you are." I said, "Hey, listen, the Lord Jesus," I said, "has been putting this in my heart. I know your life and your mom's life is very, very difficult. And you got to deal with tough people and difficult cases and stress like crazy. And I want to tell you that I've been praying for you." I said, but you know what? Just like Jesus rose from the grave and he had power over death, he also can give you the strength to overcome all your difficulties. And I feel like God wanted me to tell you that you can rely on God to help you and to keep you and to help you overcome whatever difficulties you come across." And I had two little Jesuses in my pocket. And so I reached down in my pocket and I pulled out those two little Jesuses. I said, "I have something to give you." And she thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And I said, "Everybody needs a little Jesus sometime. Here, remember the Lord Jesus," right? She was so excited. She was, she said, "My mother's going to love this." And I said, "That's all I wanted to do. I only want to take like 2 minutes out of your time, 3 minutes at the most. Thank you." I said, "Thank you for letting me talk." And I got out of there. Nothing happened. No Nobody got saved. But I planted seeds. See that there is a resurrected Savior that is greater than all, that has all power and all dominion and all glory. And what God is telling me and you here is, listen, if God's redeemed you, then tell about it. I want to tell you, it's not easy. I had somebody come to my office the other day, and I knew this person was coming, and I'd never met this person before. And I was praying, God, what am I going to say to this individual? What am I going to say? And I felt like, while I was in my car driving, I felt like God said, just love the dude. Just love the dude. It's a believer that I was going to meet. I was like, okay. And that's what I did. I just loved and encouraged and blessed and prayed over this individual. Nothing big happened. But I think God was there. God was using me. I want to tell you, God can use you. Whoever you are, however old you are, all God wants is that you begin to just say, God, I'm going to tell about you. I close with going back to Charlie Kirk. Such a big deal. He would tell people boldly, well, Jesus is my Savior. In college campuses, right? And he would tell him. He would quote Bible verses. And he would encourage whoever was there, whoever was listening, to follow God and to build a family and to get married and to have children. A lot of things the culture is not for. And I almost preached a different message than this. I was going to preach a message that I was going to call What Jesus Would Say to Charlie Kirk. That's what I almost preached. What Jesus would say to Charlie Kirk when he got to heaven. So I started using my imagination, but God just wouldn't let me go about Psalm 107. So I don't know what you think about in your imagination what Jesus may have said to Charlie Kirk when he got to heaven. What happened is just a once in a generation kind of thing. What we know happened, maybe what you saw happen, him being shut down. And I think Jesus would have said to Charlie Kirk, thank you for being unashamed of the gospel. I think he would have said that to Charlie Kirk. And I think he would have said to him, thank you for telling young people about Jesus. Because this is a generation that's lost. And they're growing up with him even without knowing God's name. They're growing up not knowing that there is a way to heaven. And I think you and I need to have a heart for those young people. Because they need Jesus. Everyone does. And I think God would have said to Charlie Kirk, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful with what I gave you to do, and I will reward you in a big way. I hope God says that about me when I get up there. That's what I hope. So, if you're redeemed, if you've been born again, if you've been saved, start letting it be known. You don't have to hit people over the head with your Bible. You just tell it. It's what Jesus did for me. And then, when you pray, remember what God has done. Where he took you out of. How when you call to him,
He descended and got right mixed into your dark days and brought his light into your life. And remember that in the good times, in the bad times, he's always there. See, you call out to him, okay? And that will develop a strong, satisfying prayer life. Amen? All right. Let's pray. God, you are good. You're a good God. Bad things do happen. We live in a bad world that's marked and stained with sin. And there's evil running rampant. And sometimes, God, we find ourselves in very dark places. Even us, the believers. Your children, the church. And sometimes, God, we cross those boundaries that you don't want us to cross. And sometimes we do the things that are boneheaded decisions that mess us all up, mess our people, our families, the people we love the most. But God, thank you and praise you that when we call out to you, your mercy and your grace exceed anything we could do or anything we would find ourselves in. If you're a child of God, listen, just pray. Ask God to help you be the kind of man, the kind of woman, the kind of teenager, the kind of kid that Jesus be proud of. You know what I'm saying? And if you've never been born again, if you've never been saved, you're in a dry, thirsty spiritual land, parched, looking for relief. Jesus Christ came into the world, born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life and died a substitutionary death for you and for me. And he rose from the grave on the third day, and he's alive today, and he offers you life that is abundant and free. If you'd like to ask Jesus Christ to save your soul right now, I'm just going to ask you to pray something like this. Father, thank you for Jesus. Oh, Lord, I messed up. I'm looking for satisfaction. I'm not getting it. There's still a hole in my soul, and right now, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And I ask Jesus Christ to come inside my heart and save my soul right now. And Lord God, I believe you rose from the dead, and I commit my life to you. Thank you. Help me in this new journey. With every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around, listen, if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, never asked him to save, you never called out on God the way I just prayed, but you asked Jesus this morning to save your soul, will you raise your hand, put it back down? I just want to pray for you. Anybody here, say, I just prayed and asked Jesus to save my soul, man. Okay. Hey, God bless you. Put your hand down. I see you. God bless you. Anyone else? You say, I just heard that. God of heaven, glorious is your name. You alone are worthy. Thank you, God, because you say in the Bible, he who is in Christ is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Thank you for that one who's begun a new journey already. Thank you for being faithful. Father, we don't have it together. We just don't have it together. And we pray that you take us where we are and you walk with us every step of the way. We love you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for